Blog Talk Radio.
I'm bored.
I want to be entertained. Can my pharaoh find some way to entertain his queen?
And what is it you're going to do?
I'm not afraid to die.
It's June the 27th, 2014, and this is the last word of Michael Lawson. I'm here with Thomas Fortenberry.
Hello, Mike.
And I had to play that. Yeah, it was a little long, but I remember sitting up on June the 25th, 2009. I believe it was a Monday, and it was just after 24 on Fox, where they debuted that whole 10-minute musical story, Remember the Time, with Michael Jackson, where Eddie Murphy was in it, Iman was in it. He played his, Eddie Murphy played the Pharaoh, and Iman was his wife, and they had Magic Johnson in it, who was the one who called in all the different people. She said she was tired and she wanted something different. And then when Michael Jackson appeared and cloaked with his head from head to toe covered, and then he broke out, and Iman's eyes opened up, and then he was running around with her, and Eddie Murphy was out to get his head, and they chased him, and he was a magician. He disappeared at the end. But I want everybody to remember the time. Michael Jackson was a phenomenal creative artist, not just a singer.
Yeah, no, I used to say all the time with my wife that I think Michael Jackson, now he was definitely a fantastic singer, musician, but if you look at him and you look at the innovations of what he did, like with Moonwalk and video, it's almost as if he was actually a professional dancer who happened to be able to sing extremely well, because his dancing talent is equal to his singing talent.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think people often forget that. But when you watch him, it's very easy to see ballet or something all over that, because he's got immense talent. He really does.
He was born August 29, 1958, and died June 25th, 2009. And I guess what it says here, in a desperate search for sleep, he, you know, in preparing for his show comeback, because he was supposedly deeply in debt. But here's some of the facts about it. Michael Jackson made more money in debt than he made in the last 5 years of his life. He sold, that's true in a lot of cases, but the problem is not the last 5 years of your life. Michael Jackson sold more albums since his death than he did the last 13 years of his life.
Wow.
Michael Jackson has sold 13.228 million albums since his death. Jackson sold more than 2 million albums 3 weeks immediately following his death. And the 5 years since his death, Jackson has sold 24.168 million digital tracks, averaging 4.83 million per year. He won over 372 major awards and a ton of minor awards. Jackson won a total of 13 Grammys, 26 American Music Awards, 18 World Music Awards, and sold over 1 billion CDs worldwide.
Billion.
I mean, that's even more than Rush Limbaugh has as an audience. Rush Limbaugh wouldn't see a billion if he was on oxycodone for 10 years.
And he was.
Oh, yes, that's true. And
until the arrest.
And he was.
We found out that it was actually just his poor housekeeper all those years. He thought he was putting them in his mouth, but she was snatching them from him. It was terrible.
Was he taking them from the
Joseph? That evil woman. Yeah, I mean, this guy was using people to go out and buy his drugs. It's terrible.
And
but enough about that fool. Let's talk about Michael Jackson.
Well, you know, I'm going to playing some Michael Jackson throughout the course of our gathering today. So on the top of the hour, we'll play another Michael Jackson favorite for everyone.
Imagine that. 13 Grammys, 26 American Music Awards, 18 World Music Awards.
I mean,
you guys got more awards than most people have careers. You know what I mean?
I remember sitting. We had people would go, would have house parties to see the music video. And every time, I mean, from Bad to Smooth Operator. Is that Smooth Operator? Smooth Operator. I mean, you name it.
Smooth Criminal.
Smooth Criminal. Smooth Operator. That was a song.
Chardin.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Sade. Right. Smooth Operator.
Smooth Criminal. Good musician.
Yes, another good musician. But I'm telling you, hey, and the I want to know where that girl is that was in the song. We're going to play that. Billie Jean. No, it wasn't Billie Jean.
Billie Jean.
No, it wasn't Billie Jean. The song. It was the song. Let's see.
How about the one we did with them? What's the name? Directed.
Why do I only have here? Let's see. Billie Jean. Okay, let me see. What didn't I do here? Because I thought I had 1, 2, 3, 4. So why don't I have Remember the Time, Bad. Smooth Criminal. Remember the Time, Bad, Smooth Criminal. And Billie Jean. So it was Bad, Smooth Criminal. It wasn't Smooth Criminal. It wasn't Bad. Remember the Time. Maybe it was Billie Jean.
You know, one thing that I like about Mike.
Yes.
He knew how to. It wasn't always, I mean, it was about Mike, but it wasn't always about Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Mike knew how to go out and find the best talent.
Oh, please.
Part of a song.
Are you kidding me?
Because, you know, like one of his those famous riffs off Both Beat It, Smooth Criminal, Dirty Diana, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
He would use famous musicians from other genres.
The Way You Make Me Feel. That's the song.
You Make Me Feel, yeah.
That's the song, and I have to make sure. Why is that on here? And I didn't.
You're still hunting the girl?
I want to know where that girl is. I want to know where that
stalker
alert is. Absolutely correct. Oh yeah. So evidently, I did not download that song, which I will do right now. But anyway, as we were saying,
and that's why God invented YouTube.
That's absolutely correct. That is absolutely, and you know the thing
is, he just does such good work with other people by bringing in the best talent everywhere to support him.
Absolutely correct. So
and he even got that unknown guy. What was that guy?
Ebony
and Ivory. He got the unknown little kid from England, helped him out on his career. Some from the, you know, he helped him out on that thing, the Beatles or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you remember that little
guy? Was good about that. He helped him out.
Oh, God, I tell you, Mr. Jackson, Michael to you, Mr. Jackson to you. Anyway, the thing is that the music that Michael Jackson played was not just music that made sense, unlike today's music in a lot of areas, made sense. Michael Jackson's music, I want to tell you how. Now, he was born in 58. He was singing in 59. No, and he was singing about 5 years later. But Blake, my grandson Blake, knows Michael. If we can get Blake in here, we'll just have him tell you later. We'll tell you about Michael Jackson. He loves, you know what his two favorite singers are?
Two.
Michael Jackson and Frank Sinatra. Now, how do you merge them together? Michael Jackson and Frank Sinatra.
I don't know. I mean, I've seen David Bowie singing Little Drummer Boy.
Yes,
some
but
old classics, but I don't know. How do you get this together?
I don't know how you get it together either, but frankly, that's who he knows. Everybody he thinks is either Michael Jackson. Well, now he even knows him now. So, you know, you can't fool him anymore. And I will say, when we're listening to the music, he'll say, if he hears it, if he knows his function, he'll say, "Sing it, Frank." Like he is a very close friend of his.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say,
"He did it his way."
Because he did it his way. And Let's see if we can get down here. Michael Jackson. Okay, do I have it listed now?
Well, I don't know if you saw it a while back, but several people like Justin Timberlake and I forget the other new guy, maybe Bruno Mars, all that. They've all done like tribute videos to him recently, and it's really nice to see him paying homage to Michael, because he's so influential in so many ways, you know, musically, the look, the videos, the dancing. I mean, that guy, Usher, freaking, no offense to Usher. I like Usher, but Usher basically said, Mike's dead. I'm going to copy his moves.
I'm going to be the new Mike.
And I'll just copy his moves, and I'll become famous too, which, you know, has
now, you know, what is bad about this, what just happened here, I just can't understand what's going on here. Because
well, that's an everyday thing, Mike.
Yes, I'm trying, because it seems like I downloaded another Remember the Time, and
oh my God.
I don't understand this at all.
Just
but
find it on.
I found it too. But the problem is that I don't understand how this thing could be loaded
in. Remember the time when Mike couldn't download and Remember the Time?
Yeah, Remember the Time. We couldn't do anything. But I remember Michael Jackson. Now, both my kids. Now, see, the way you want to see, there it is right there. Now, why isn't it that I didn't load it correctly?
Oh, they rightly know.
Well, what is the performance? Which performance? Especially in the music videos, did you like the best that Michael Jackson performed in the which music video?
I like different ones for different reasons, but my all-time favorite.
Because it's talking about whether you were drinking beer or bourbon.
Yeah, exactly. But my favorite stylistically, for some reason, is Smooth Criminal. I like the classic styling, and also, of course, that's. Now, I've seen the videos on how they said they did it with the special shoes, and they're locked in and all that. But when he first did the lean,
first time you
ever see that on that video, it blows your mind.
Now, how is that
we're
even?
We're all running around, falling down in the street, trying to copy. You know what I mean? So that was cool.
As a matter of fact, I was still trying to do that, but I can't do it.
See, that's, again, going back to his dancing ability. He was so good that he could do things that nobody else could do, like the moonwalk. You know, he would create things just stylistically that people would copy for the rest of their lives.
Well, how is that even possible that he could do that?
From what I gathered, a documentary I saw, that they have these special shoes that
but
you lock
see,
in and you can actually
right.
All
but everybody, you see, everybody in the. Now, you see, this thing is getting this ridiculous now. I can't get my show back up here. What's going on? The shoes that he used, there was others, the other people in his dance crew had the same shoes, because I think it was the four people, I think, in it that had those shoes that – he was able to, that they were all wearing the same type shoe.
Oh yeah,
they were all wearing the same type shoe. Now, come on, what's the story here? I can't get on the studio. Where's my studio here? Come on, where's the studio settings? Come on, guys, where are you at here? Can't get into. I'm trying to get back into the. To live, and I can't get back into live here for some reason. I don't know what the hell the story is here. It just keeps saying settings, and it doesn't give me any place. I can't go into the studio. How come I can't get in my studio? What's going on here? Well, let's do close this, and let's go back into
maybe there's too much Michael going on.
Well, I don't know, but I just can't get in the studio, and it would. Trying to reload it, and it won't come up.
It's always fun here. Last word land.
Yep. See,
you never know what's
going to happen. We don't even know settings. See, I'm trying to get into settings here, or start your show. and I can't see my studio. Well, let's just talk about the show. How we're going to talk about right now. The next thing is, how about that Pope?
You know, I'm not Catholic like you, but this Pope is
the man.
The man. He's pretty darn exciting. He's changing the world, and he's doing everything that I would dream of a Catholic Pope doing. This, he seems legit. I'll put it that way. The other ones, you know, not so much. So this guy, he's got it going on. But I tell you what, here's my big fear.
Uh-oh. No, please don't say that.
Minded guy.
Don't say that now.
You know, there was this little guy a few years back who was a accountant for the Bank of the Vatican. And he got involved in something, and there was a lot of money missing.
You think?
And it didn't work out so well for him. So he was found, like, hanging upside down off of Blackfriars Bridge in England. So my fear is the Pope, you know, has done some major, major moves now. Not only is he advocating for the poor, and, you know, last year he made the Republicans furious when he said that, you know, capitalism may not be a compassionate, wonderful system. And now he has gone after the banks. One thing that he did recently is, you know, when he first went in, there was a scandal. One of the reasons he was kind of, you know, popified and the other guy quit was...
Popified? Is that what you said? Popified?
Yeah, I don't know the exact term. Popified. but he went in, you know, under a cloud. There was a kind of a scandal going on in the Vatican banks.
Kind of a?
Yeah, there's been a lot of money missing for the last 20 years or so. But anyway, so... The other Pope, you know, retired to polish his ruby slippers. And this Pope called for a review. Apparently he didn't like the review. Because when it came in, not only did he fire the head of the church, he just fired the entire board of the Vatican, the whole financial board. I said they were all corrupt. Yep. Fired them all instantly, just without notice. Fired the entire board at once. And
did he get the checkbooks first?
Yeah, you know. And I'm like,
did he get the checkbook? Did he close the account?
Here's the thing.
And go in there that night and raid the bank and say, let's take this money out and put it over here let's put it in another corrupt institution. You know, Chase Manhattan. Oh, better yet, how about Bank of America? I mean, you know, if we're going to have it in one that we can't trust, let's put it in the one that we know we can't trust.
Yeah.
And we can monitor it all the time.
So, by the way, if you want to look this up, Roberto Calvi.
Roberto Calvi.
He was the Italian banker. God's banker. He was the Vatican banker who turn over evidence or something or speak to the press or whatever. And he went missing from Rome, was fleeing, and then they found him hanging upside down in London. This was under, you know, Pope John Paul II. And that was the huge scandal at the time that first broke.
But that was years ago. That's what I was going to say.
But there's been problems ongoing.
Did he find any money, though, when he was doing that?
Lots of money missing, lots of problems. But I urge people to go read.
But you can't tell how much money you're missing because you don't know how much money you have.
Yes. Well, you know.
Who does?
No one does.
Only God does.
Only God does. But you should read that book. It gave a good insight into this. But now that he's going after them again, I fear for the Pope's life.
As a matter of fact, keep talking. I want to show you a book here.
Well, you know, he did this early June. He got rid of the banker, the whole financial board. And then just this last week, he got rid of all the mafia. Did you hear about that? Excommunicated all mafia members in the entire world. That was pretty amazing. James Brandt, the Vatican Connection.
Yeah.
The world's best intelligence agents aren't CIA.
That's right.
They're really priests.
They're Jesuits.
You don't mess with the Jesuits. You want to know Black Ops?
Who were the ones?
Look, I had back in the 80s from one of my dad's cousins that was on the Jesuits. It's a big, gigantic thing. It was like thousands of pages long. And it was supposed to, it had lots of secret things that they did, and it was supposed to be a history on that. And they were like assassins.
Well, what was the name of the movie was the guy who played Dr. Kildare? Well, it was the story about the over there in Japan in the old days, and he was the Jesuit that came over there when he found out that all the Jesuits, what they would do is stealing money, all the money from the Japanese, they were taking. Oh, that was called.
Was it Shogun?
Shogun.
Yeah.
Shogun. They're all Jesuits. They're all Jesuits.
Yep.
Yep.
But see, I'm here because you've got a pope that has.
So tell us something about this. What happened? Okay, so what did he say here? Okay.
He has fired the Vatican Financial Board, fired the head of the bank, and now he's excommunicated all the mafia in Italy. He said they're all
corrupt. Which were part of the
mafia.
The Holy See. They were part of the Vatican Bank.
And it's like, now here's my fear. When you start going after the power and money brokers of the world, I'm fearful for this guy.
Well, hey, listen.
Let me be blunt.
See, you need to read that.
And, the other thing
they tell you about
them. He quit riding around in the armored Pope mobile. He said he should be a regular person, and he goes around like without any protection.
Yeah, on Friday nights he goes out.
So now it's going to be like blam 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 blam. And you know, let's just play a conspiracy for a minute. If I were a total Dick,
Tracy. Oh, Chain, yeah.
And had some connections to Blackwater or CIA or something like that. And I wanted to remove a thorn in the financial side of the mafia. I would shoot the guy and lay a trail that looked like Al-Qaeda or Islam. Or
right to
like
President
that.
Barack
so
Obama's
could,
house.
Yeah,
oh.
So that you could make it... fit your agenda, we'll say. And that's what I worry about. Because, you know, the other time when Pope John Paul was shot, it was when Yugoslavia was falling apart.
Right.
And it was one of their, you know, supposedly one of their Islamist separatist kind of guys. Now, whether or not that's true or not, but, hey, ain't that convenient. So, what if we got some crazy, what's that group in Syria that's invaded Iraq, you know, that whole thing going on where, and then suddenly, somehow, one of their jihadists takes out the Pope. You know, that'd rile up everybody and make for, a new war in Iraq, right? If you had to sell one.
Another world order? Give me a break.
No,
how many world orders do we need?
Yeah, I know.
How many world orders do we need?
He's a nice guy.
According here, what the heck is this guy? The Vatican sources said, Brulhart Lichtenstein.
Yes, with names like that.
That's almost like Rover. Yeah.
I knew it.
Former top anti-money laundering expert was chafing under an old board and wanted Francis to appoint global professionals like him. Brulhart wanted a board who could work with, and it seems the Pope has come down on his side and sent the old boy network packing.
And when you mess with the old boy network.
The new board of the AIF, that's the Holy See, includes Mark Odendahl, who administers and advises philanthropic organizations in Switzerland, and Juan C. Zarate, a Harvard law professor, definitely a communist, and senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, definitely a communist infiltration there, a think tank based in Washington, D.C. The other two board members are Joseph Yavaris, former managing director of Monetary Authority of Singapore and senior advisor to the country's president, and Maria Bianca Farina, the head of two Italian insurance companies. Francis, who was elected in March 2013 after the resignation of Pope Benedict in February, set up a new secretariat for the economy, reporting directly to him, and appointed an outsider Australian Cardinal George Pell to head it. In January, he removed Cardinal Attilio Nicarora, a prelate who played a senior role in Vatican finances for more than a decade.
Which makes him probably one of the richest men on earth.
As the president of the AIF, and replaced him with an archbishop, lower ranking too now, with a track record of reform within the Vatican bureaucracy.
The
thing is, they have to kill everybody now. Yeah. They just couldn't get rid of the Pope because everybody's going to know everything. All these people he's pointing are all going to know everything now. And ain't like, well, it's this one guy in this corner who left under, he's back, you're past this door, go around this corner.
But the problem is when he lifts the rock up and all the stuff goes scurrying everywhere and the lights are on and everybody's in the room and everybody sees it. You can't put it back.
Heck no. He also replaced four of the five cardinals in the commission that supervises the Vatican Troubled Bank, known as the Institute of Works of Religion. Now, when he came in, I had an interview with my pastor of my church, and the last thing I told him was, what do you think? I said, I think he is going to change everything. I said Benedict came in and he saw that he couldn't kick butts because he used to kick butts all the time. Now he was the kick butt artist. But when he got in there, he found out, no way.
He had to be the prophet.
That's right. He said, no way. He said, so I can't do this. Let me get out. Let me get somebody who don't know any of these people and who's a straight shooter. He also knows, he knows finance.
But here's something, this is a mean thing to say, but here's my personal.
Mean, huh?
Yeah,
what'd your wife say? I'm going to tell her what she said.
I know. I think that this Pope, besides having is, I think, a really stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The former Pope, is my fear that one of the reasons he didn't get the form, he didn't do a lot.
Because he knew all these guys.
No, but besides knowing all them, they knew him.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, my personal opinion is, that he wanted to actually do reform and realized he could not do reforms because I think they have something on him. Because why, after even just a little while, he didn't even try very hard. He just suddenly said, I'm going to step down and let this guy reform everything. Because he mentioned reforms and then suddenly did nothing. And it was my impression that they had something on him. That's the way I thought.
Well,
why else wouldn't he do
that? Well, the thing
it.
Is that, no.
So
he was a guy, I believe, who really he was known to be the enforcer. He was the enforcer, and but he was the enforcer with the religion. Now the money thing, I don't believe he knew anything about.
Yeah, he was more of a theological.
He was that's where he was. He was the one that he created all the laws and made them so conservative. But the problem is, now he was 88, 85 years old. He said, this is somebody got in who's younger and who these people don't know, as you said, and don't know where it's going
to
come from when
the
shot comes.
They went down to the tip of Argentina.
Yes. They couldn't go any further.
Found a cowboy on horseback.
Yeah.
They said, hey,
Clint Eastwood.
You're the man.
That's right. He found Clint Eastwood. He came in.
Yeah.
That's it. And he says to the Vatican Bank, he said, make my day.
first,
when he was holding the 44 to the head. Because you remember, he was a bouncer.
Standing around and going, Father, what do we do?
He goes, no problem.
Paint the town red.
Yeah, paint the
town. They'll be back.
They'll be back. Paint the town red. That's what he said.
That's what he did.
Yeah, right. He said, paint the town red, yes. And give me a bottle. And who's that woman over there? Oh, yeah.
No. This is the Pope.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, only Vatican employees, religious institutions, orders of the priests and nuns and Catholic charities are allowed to have accounts at the bank. But investigators have found that a number were being used by outsiders or that legitimate account holders while holding money from third parties.
No.
Do you think?
Hey, their family.
Yeah, right. The Corleone family. Oh, no, it wasn't the Corleone. It was the, that's just the town's name.
Yeah. Wow.
Monsignor Nunzio.
Like Berto Scully? Berto Lucci?
Yeah, okay. Monsignor Nunzio Scarano, a former senior Vatican accountant who had close ties to the IRO, is currently on trial, accused of plotting to smuggle millions of dollars into Italy from Switzerland in a scheme to help rich friends avoid taxes. Sarcano has also been indicted on separate charges of laundering millions of euros through the IRO, Paolo Soprini and Massimo Tulli, the IRO's director and deputy director, who resigned last July after Sarcano's arrest, had been ordered to stand trial on charges of violating anti-laundering norms.
You know, I think the laundering money for friends and family, I think that's the big one.
Oh, you mean it's not like friends and family, see, with AT&T?
They were,
is it your friends and
I
family?
Think they were, I think they were doing some big-time shittiness over there. I'm glad the Pope's stepping up, but I'm very worried that the Pope will be removed as a source of ending the investigation. That's my fear.
Well, that's your fear. Okay, well, that's fine.
No, it's my fear.
Oh, I get your fear. Oh,
my fear for the guy.
Oh, I think you fear for the guy.
Pope. But when you start messing with the mafia worldwide, and you start messing
that
with
that is no mafia. That's all. That's all figment. They're all. They've been gone for years.
And, you know,
there's
I guess
no
he imagined he just excommunicated.
There's no. Now, hey, how about
like excommunicating y'all? You opposed, maybe.
Hey, absolutely. What about
which, ironically enough, you know, the former Pope issued that director that said there's alien life in the universe. So, hey.
Yeah.
You opposed in, mafia out. I like it.
And now,
like the church is moving these days.
Now, the thing is also, the views faces highest turnover ever as Ruby Clouts rose. Anyway, don't want to talk to myself here. Anyway, the thing is, yeah, I'm talking to myself here. Now, you know, of course, that these clowns, these clowns, in the House want to impeach the president. You hear about that?
No.
Yeah. They want to impeach the president because, well, you know, I don't want to get there yet.
You don't want to get there yet?
No, I don't want to get there yet. That's just a tease for a little bit later when we talk about the reasons why, which will be they say is, well, they don't, they're not saying. They're saying, we just want to impeach him. When they ask Boehner, he says, what do you, what's the reason? What's your ground for impeaching the president? Oh, when I come up with it, I'll let you know. This is what he said.
Well,
now, but I want to see, you've seen the TV series Elementary, right?
The American version of Sherlock?
Yes.
I have not, but I know. Not
Sherlock. This is Elementary is Sherlock Holmes and Watson, but Sherlock Watson is played by
Asian girl.
Yeah, who I love so much. What's her name?
Lucy Liu. Yeah.
And they work. They are so good, but you I think they are so perfect together. But you know what is so perfect?
What?
The innuendo and the storyline where they have brought in the characters from regular Sherlock Holmes, the Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes, and mixed them in with American counterparts. And the same situations that Conan Doyle used, Sherlock Holmes, they have mixed it in with the storyline. Now, and I have to play this because there is a episode of Sherlock Holmes that I thought was so clever. It was clever by the way that if I get it right here. Oh, it was clever because of the innuendo and how they got to. You see, look at it. Sherlock Holmes is a drug addict, right? Was the sixth banker dead? J.B. Morgan executed executive director of global equities, Ryan Crane.
I was just going to say there's six suicides.
Since when?
The
six suicides have something to do with the Pope? Yeah, getting him?
No, I'm just pointing out that it's interesting.
Oh.
Interesting. You have these global markets and investigations, and then suddenly we got six of these guys that all killed. So this guy was only 30. So, all suicides. And then you got the Pope investigating. It's just interesting.
Well, you know everything's connected.
Hey.
Too big to fail is right. So
that's
what it is.
For you to commit suicide.
But anyway, so get back to elementary. So Sherlock Holmes, who's in the story here, is a addict, as we knew, but we didn't know that when I was youngster growing up that he was an addict. And we didn't know what that 1% solution was.
Right.
I mean, but anyway, we now know that Sherlock, so how do they treat him being an addict? Okay, he was doing, Sherlock Holmes in the Conan Doyle story would take and smoke dope. And he would inject, well, he didn't smoke it. He injected himself with a needle because he said that he wanted to test his powers of beating it. But he only did this when he didn't have cases, when he was bored. All right. So the story now, and then in the new Sherlock, which is on BBC, and who's the guy that plays him? Same guy that played in Star Trek. Which is
Benedict
Cumberbatch, right. Okay, now his thing with...
By the way, I really like
him. Oh, I do too. I like him too. He's great.
Got it just,
he's great.
Just got that innate,
he's got it. And you know what? And really... the one who plays on TV now is, I can't remember these guys' names.
I don't know.
It's former married, he was Angelina Jolie's first husband. Yeah.
Oh, Billy Bob?
No, that wasn't the first husband. No, not Billy Bob. Please give me a break. Give me a break, please. Billy Bob. But no. Anyway.
I just can't help it. I'm going to start whistling the good, the bad, the ugly or something.
Well, anyway, the story here is that his drug addiction was alcohol, okay? And so we have Cumberbatch's drug addiction was drugs also.
Oh, did you see that?
Just like Conan Doyle.
But they did it as if he went undercover, so you don't really know if he...
What?
When on Sherlock, the British show, where they show him as a drug user, they go through that whole thing, and then they say that it's because he's deep undercover. He went into the drug underworld. But then he solves the whole crime and comes back out, and then he treats Watson like he's an idiot. This is what he's saying. I was on the cover. It gives you that impression that, like,
well,
what was that? He was really a drug addict. He wasn't really a drug addict. You know.
Well, Johnny Lee Miller. Johnny Lee Miller. Okay. Okay. Now, what happens is that, so he's with the guy in England. Yeah.
Is Elementary worth watching?
It is so well.
Sherlock is stylistically so awesome.
No. See now, Sherlock is the English Sherlock Holmes,
right,
where you don't have laugh-out-loud comedy. It's very subtle,
like,
bam,
like
in your face.
English.
Yeah, it's English. Elementary,
they have to
you have to think about what he's saying, and then you laugh out loud. Like, you'll hear it, and then during the commercial, you'll say, holy cow! He is, and Lucy Liu Watson always gets it.
Right.
For most 99% of the time, because she knows him now. She is his sponsor. She is there to make sure that he doesn't go back on the wagon.
Oh, relapse.
Now, yeah. Now, she's the type of sponsor.
Oh, there's some young girl playing.
That will live with you.
Irene Adler.
Oh, yeah, right. I got to tell you about her. Yeah, right. Okay, right. So, and they changed that whole story around, see, because you remember Moriarty was the guy, and Irene Adler was an alias that one of his people were using. Well, her name in this storyline, her real name is Irene Adler, but she was going under the AKA name as Moriarty.
Ah.
So all her criminal element only knew Moriarty. They didn't know Irene Adler.
Right.
Sherlock Holmes met her as Irene Adler because she was there stalking him and to find out how smart he was. This was back in England.
Right.
And the whole storyline goes that when she disappeared or supposedly died, she disappeared because he was getting close to her.
Right.
He was looking for Moriarty. Okay, this is how the story goes, you know. He was getting close to Moriarty. So she had to disappear. She didn't kill him because she loved him for his brain.
Right.
Okay? All right.
The woman.
But he actually fell in love with her. You know, like Moriarty in the Sherlock Holmes Conan Doyle is a man. Okay? All right. So, Watson is they're living together in the same huge house that his father is paying the bucks for.
Watson?
Well, no. Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes' father is a millionaire, multi-millionaire. He's still alive, not like the Conan Doyle series. And he paid Sherlock Holmes to go to the United States.
Right.
To get a new start because he was on drugs and everything else, drinking. And that he would pay, he gave him money out of his, allowance. And then he hired this sponsor to take care of him. And he hired Watson. So he had a house that was big enough, like four bedrooms. And Watson lives in the house with Sherlock. Okay? And in the mornings, you'll see, sometimes he'll be sitting right at the foot of her bed looking at her when she wakes up. I said, what are you doing here in my bedroom like this? He says, well, we have to go on a case right now. He says, I thought we were supposed to have privacy. He said, why? I am giving you privacy. You slept all night. I wasn't in the bed with you. Et cetera, et cetera. All right. So funny. All right. So the inspector of police of Scotland Yard in London, which his name escaped me for a minute, it was different. Well, police in Scotland Yard, Conan Doyle, the guy was an inspector, so he had to get there before Sherlock Holmes came on site. So he had to have some sort of smarts, but
right.
After Sherlock got there, he relied on Sherlock to solve all the major cases.
Right, because he would rely on his expertise.
Right.
When they were stuck.
That's right. So, but this guy in Europe is a complete failure. Sherlock would solve all the cases for him, and he would take all the credit for it. So after a while, Sherlock said, "Well, you know, this is it's nice for you to, I'm glad you're getting the support and everything else, but stop taking credit for all my cases." He said, "Well, I read on news." He said, "I'm leaving." So he went up to New York, and Sherlock is there now, and he starts working with the captain of police, and the captain of police never told Sherlock that it was his father that called him up and said, "Look, give him a job. He needs this." He made him a consultant with the New York City Police Department. And that's when he also met Watson. So Watson now and him are living in the same house. There is a growing relationship there coming. But what happened was all of a sudden Irene Adler came back into the case, to the scene. Mm-hmm. And through all sorts of shenanigans, Irene Adler, Sherlock found her. It was really, she led him. She left the breadcrumbs from the finer. And she was in this room painting. Because that's how she met Sherlock, because he was a painter, and he loved to paint. But he knew, of course, Sherlock knows all about painting. And when he saw the painting in her room back in England, he said, "This is a stolen painting. I did it myself." He said, "Oh, it's copies." He said, "Well, you can't make a copy on campus like this because they don't make this canvas anymore. And they don't make this paint anymore." She says, "Well, someone sold it to me. He had to get out of town real fast. And I bought it. I didn't know it was stolen." So instead of locking up and turning her in, Scotland Yard, they went out and had dinner, love, fall in love. Okay, bingo. So now he finds her again in another apartment. And he goes ballistic. She doesn't remember anything. She's lost her memory. And Watson, she don't like her whatsoever. She says there's something wrong here. So meanwhile, she's now living at the house, and they're getting along, and they're going out to dinner, and Watson still don't trust him. So she gets back her memories and everything, and she says, "Sherlock, I want you to go away with me back to England." He says, "I will do anything you want." And Watson goes to see him. I would see her for a dinner. And they're sitting here. She said, "Why did you call me here?" He said, "Well, because I'm taking Sherlock with me." He says, "No, you're not going to take Sherlock with him." He said, "Why?" He says, "Do you want him?" And, of course, Watson says, "There is no business of yours whether I want him or not. It's just that you're a criminal and he doesn't see it." And she says, "Well, we'll see." So what she does, Watson doesn't drink the drink because she thinks that she's going to poison her. What she does, she poisons Sherlock so she can take him with her. And before she does that, Sherlock says, "No, I can't do this because you are a criminal and you're really Moriarty." He says, "We know this, and I'm just going to let you get away." And she says, "Well, you know, I'm thankful for that you'll let me get away because our love will last forever." As she gives him a dose of medicine that is supposed to kill him. Mm. Meanwhile, Watson gets there in time, takes him to the hospital, has a stomach pump and everything else. So now she finds out that he's alive. He's the only one that can put her away. So he's supposed to be in intensive care. She goes in to see Watson. Goes in to see Sherlock in the hospital. And while she's putting more poison in his intravenous drip, mm-hmm. she says, "I will always remember you, and I will always love you." And she gets up to the table, and Sherlock says, "Can you just give me a kiss before you leave?" She says, she leans over, and he says, "You're always going to remember me because you'll be behind bars for the rest of your life." And everybody comes in. He says, "This was a trap." He says, "Yes." He says, "But you couldn't have pulled this off." He says, "No, it wasn't me. It was Watson." So she hates Watson now, and Watson hates her. So she's going to go after Watson. Anyway,
right.
Well, you know, Moriarty never dies. you know, Moriarty is always around.
Here's a quote I found from the show.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I like this quote. It's just it's nice because it builds the book. He's just talking to Mycroft. Sherlock says, "Don't touch any of my first edition." And he turns around. Or what?
Yeah, or Watson. Well, you like know, that. Because in the storyline, Watson and Mycroft have been to bed several times. And he went and caught them in bed together several times.
That's
Mycroft is posing as a restaurateur.
Oh.
But you know who Mycroft really is.
Okay.
And I was always saying they could not have changed the story so much to make Mycroft a restaurateur and not work for MI5.
Right. I mean,
well, so in the last year we found out he worked for MI5 because he had a deal with some criminals and they recruited and so they were going to lock him up, but they had respect for his father because his father was some big multimillionaire. So they recruited him. So he's been working for MI5 for like 12 years. And now he's one of the big people in MI5 because they caught the head of MI5 who was the actual working with Moriarty. And now he is MI5. Like Sherlock says, like in Sherlock Holmes says the story, he says, well, is Watson working for MI5? He said, no, I'm Watson. No, is Mycroft working for MI5? He said, no, Watson. Mycroft is MI5. So anyway, there's a storyline here. Anyway, this particular, and I went through the whole line to say this, so we missed our Michael Jackson minute, but anyway, here's the story. We got to hear this. This is not long. Watson comes in, and she finds these roosters in the living room, separate, fighting roosters. So she says, fighting roosters, she says, well, what is all this? These chickens here. He says, no, they're roosters. They're fighting roosters. He said, I'm going to train them so they don't fight anymore. He said, well, you can't do that. He said, yes. Well, anyway, this is the snippet of this innuendo about the fighting roosters that I think you will love to hear.
Hey, I was out on a small case last night.
Hey, I was just at the bodega. Ignacio said you helped him find out where his son was getting so much cash.
Cockfighting. I had to break up the ring, naturally. Not barrack practice.
So you decided to bring one of the chickens home?
Well, there are two combatants in a cockfight. I could have called animal control, but it occurred to me we have an opportunity. There's some debate as to whether these creatures, once perverted by their keepers, can be weaned from their aggressive tendencies. The process, as it stands now, is tedious, highly imperfect. I believe it can be improved upon. I believe that by this time, several days hence, Romulus and Remus will be living side by side, two cocks in harmony.
All right. Good luck. I'm not feeding them.
You seem upset. Do you have an aversion to cocks?
Not as a species. I have an aversion to these particular... You know what? I'm not 12. I'm not calling on that. I just need your roosters.
He said, do you have aversion to a cock? And she said, these two I do. So... It's a great line.
Rooster.
Throughout, he said, well, take your chickens and take them out of here. I said, you're not having me say that. But anyway, the storyline is full of innuendos like that. But the storyline now, we can see, she, at the end of this is the third year now, she wants to leave and go on and live by herself because he's not showing the attention that need be for them to be more than just partners in detective work. So that's how it is. That's how it's going along. And we have to see how this changes. And if it changes, do you think that would change the perception of Watson and Holmes if Watson and Holmes were a male and female and then they started sleeping together? I'm asking you guys.
You know, I do. They're supposed to be partners.
Give me partners.
I don't think that
man and wife is partners.
Yeah, but they're not set up that way in the original books.
Right, but you see,
I mean, you could work it that way. It'd be like kind of like saying, you know,
they have changed
Nick and Nora Charles.
Yeah,
become, you know,
okay,
working together.
Well, that could be the storyline here.
Maybe,
how they're trying to change it.
Maybe.
But you see, because they, I think, what they have done, the adaptations they have taken, have been absolutely spot on, because no one ever would have suspected that Irene Adler was Moriarty.
Irene Adler.
Okay? So you're always looking for a man. Now, a woman couldn't do this. It's got to be a man who's doing this. So, but Irene Adler, she was dead killer. She killed the two people that worked for her, so you couldn't trace it back to her. So she just shot him. So I think that I think it could work. But they work so good together. I think it's a great storyline. Great storyline. Anyway, what we want to do right now is, and
we may have gotten off track.
Yeah, we got off track. I just got carried away with the two cocks there fighting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just want to, now here's a.
It is kind of funny given the our politics in the last couple of weeks have been dominated by, you know, our favorite guy, Dick Cheney.
The two, the big, yeah. Okay, here's your song we're going to play for you.
Which one's that?
Michael Jackson. Here he is. We'll be right back. Okay, that's the status song. Yes. And oh, there he is on the video.
That's when she wanted.
That's right. Yeah, but now
that girl.
Now, I cut that. That was I think 11 minutes long. So I did the short version, the 4 minute and 52 second version. Because I said all the ones I have cut today are from the big version, so I had to go search for the little version because it would take up like 45 minutes of the show. Anyway. So, she's a good-looking young lady.
Yeah, I wonder who.
You know, I did know it one time, but I know one of the other three girls that were in that video with him was Rebe.
Oh, really?
One of his sisters, yes. Okay. So, well, we're now going to enter.
Are we going to actually get
hey.
Into politics today?
Hey.
Just
hey.
Hang out in the cultural side of things.
That's fine.
Why not? What's wrong with adding out? As a matter of fact, if I find it here, we have to have. There is a. We have to be in.
I mean, there was some news this week.
Well, it was, but listen, we have to now go into the realm of space.
Space.
Space, the final frontier.
These
are the voyages of the starship Bachman. Oh, no. Whose strange and continuing voyages are driving everybody on the planet Earth crazy. Well, Michelle Bachman, in her last days, is almost like Hitler's last days, Michelle Bachman's last days. She only appears on shows like Fox News.
Yeah. They
she did that one other time on Hardball, and it was the last time.
The Republicans have this, they're very interested in branding.
Brand.
Very interested in
yes.
marketing.
Yes, marketing.
They want
anyway.
To create
the image
of something other than white sheet burning down. Blackout. So
they are trying to on the front lawn.
Create that.
Yes.
And if you notice, they keep trotting it out over and over. They did say there's Sarah Palin. You know, they try to find the attractive white girl to bring out and then let them spew the hatred. You know, they tried it with Ann Coulter. They tried it with other and same thing with Bachman. They would say, oh, she's attractive and she can get in there and do something. And
attractive.
She opens her mouth. It's just like freaking lunatic.
Well, she's a 4 foot, 2 foot, 4 foot. 2-inch midget that has a brain that makes Lucille Ball look like Einstein. But she thought she was going
to
go on her favorite radio station and get a bye. But, you know, sometimes crazy is just crazy.
Yeah, so what's she trying to peddle this week?
Neil Cavuto called it. When Neil Cavuto calls it crazy, it's crazy. Just listen to this.
This woman, Michelle Bachman, on whether Republicans should be very careful with her, because Congresswoman, as I was trying to raise with this constitutional scholar, is Republican steps in as president and Democrats go after he or she on the same principle, then it gets to be just a political football, doesn't it?
Well, very clearly, the American people are absolutely outraged. And the question is, what is it that we can do? Has the president overreached with his power? Absolutely, he has. What are the tools available to the United States Congress to help enforce the separation of powers doctrine? In other words, the Constitution is a stop sign for the president as it is for the Congress, as it is for the Supreme Court. You can't do anything you want. Now,
yeah,
there
but
is
what is making Republicans mad? No sexist comment there. Now, I mean, if this has been going on for a long time, and to be fair to you, Congressman, you've been bemoaning it for a long time. Why now the suit? But, by the way, we're going to get back in legal, you know, broadsides back and forth. Why not just fix things that are very, very wrong now rather than dragging someone to court over whether they overstepped their bounds? It just seems to me like an enormous waste of effort.
Well, the lawsuit is what you might call a long-term effort if it even gets picked up by a court. A lot of courts might call this a political question. This could drag on for months, and we may not get anywhere. Again, it reflects the frustration of the American people.
You just said it, Congresswoman. We might not get anywhere. Now, maybe Republicans are in their right. Maybe the president's within his right. But if the issue is, you know, one side or the other abusing his authority, maybe someone should get to work under the underlying problems that some feel the other side is usurping from it. But we spend too much time arguing, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, we're going to indict you on this. We're going to go back and forth. Fix whatever is wrong right now rather than dragging the other side to court. It just seems to me there's so much wrong here. This finger pointing, we're going to drag your ass to court. We're going to do this. Just do something. You know what I'm saying?
Let me go where you're going. And I agree with you because
it's
this is what
place,
we need to do. This is what Congress can do and I argue must do. Number one,
Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it years ago when you were first raising it?
Criminy, give me a second, and I will tell you.
Why?
Okay,
Congressman. Why now? Why after all this time? You've been talking about this for years. Now someone just woke up and said, I got an idea. Let's sue.
I don't know why John Boehner's filing this now. I have no idea. I called for these measures going back to the State of the Union, and I said that this president is not a king, and the Congress needs to stand up. So why he's doing it now, I don't know. But this is what we should do now. What we should do right now is defund the executive branch when we have the option. I just ran across the street because we're voting on funding for the executive branch all summer long. Cut it. Make it hurt. Because if they don't have money, they won't have power. Number two, we need to, where executive branch officials have broken the law, and they have, the IRS gave private donor information to the political friends of this administration. They gave the private donor information
separate
to the
issue.
Political
Congresswoman,
enemies.
Separate issue. Congresswoman, separate issue. You're conflating issues.
No, it isn't.
You're quite
no,
right.
It
where
isn't.
Was
no,
your
it isn't.
Rage?
Because
where was your rage,
do,
Congresswoman?
Listen.
Where
Let
was
me have
your
one
rage,
minute.
Congresswoman? No, you're conflating issues and you're being silly. Where was your rage when Democrats were going after President Bush on the same use of executive orders? Because I think you knew then that was a waste of time. Then, and I think you know in your heart of hearts, this is a waste of time now. There are far more important things that you guys have to be addressing than filing lawsuits past each other. By the way, Rome's burning.
I'm not the one talking about that. What I'm saying is that what's very important is this: the president trying to establish lawlessness in the United States. That's a big
Democrats
issue.
Said
That's
George
big.
Bush did the same, Congresswoman. I'm just saying.
And So what we need to do is defund the executive branch, number one, and then impeach
defund, wait, think about what you're saying. Defund the executive branch. Congresswoman, if Democrats had said, we're going to just defund President Bush, we're going to defund the executive, you would laugh them out. And so you should have then. And I think Democrats would be in their right mind to laugh you out now. Defund them.
Listen, the House has the power of the purse. This isn't a small power. We can do this, but we can do something further. I hear your frustration.
All right,
what we can do further is impeach the elected officials that have broken the law.
Rome's burning and you're filing. All right.
That's not filing. That's kicking him out of there. What else are we going to do?
It's not what the Constitution allows.
We'll
have more after this.
Well, then what do you do? What do you do? That's what the Constitution
I've used blue.
Listen. What happened was he cut her off. And he went and said, let's go to a commercial break.
Yeah.
So when he came back, he said, look, I'm sorry for cutting off the congressman, you know, but I stand by everything I say. Now, wait a minute. Defund the executive branch.
Right.
Oh, that only takes in the military, the entire Pentagon, the CIA, the FBI. The Cyber Command, NSA.
What they're saying is And you heard her explicitly state it several times at the end.
What can we do? Right.
We got to stop it. So,
but you're a Jaguar legislator. What do you think he was going
to
do?
They've been trying to take out, like, Supreme Court justices and stuff because they say, what can we do to stop these laws that we don't like?
Right.
When they go in, like, well, right. You know, you can have an abortion. So what are they going to do, defund the Supreme Court now? You know, things like, I mean, you know, these guys have lifetime appointments. They can't get rid of the evil liberals. So what can we do?
If you have a lifetime appointment, that means they got to get paid.
Is that right? It sounds as if somebody, like last week, pointed this line out to them. It said, what does that mean, power of the purse? And then somebody explained it to them, and then now this is the rage. They're suddenly like, well, let's defund him. You know, two terms in.
I have a question. What happened to getting rid of Obamacare? They're not talking about that no more.
Because
see, I wonder why.
Dead in the water.
I mean, well, what happened to Obamacare? Why is that? They don't talk about Obamacare no more?
Hey, guess what? Let me check my calendar. Yeah, it's Friday. You heard Benghazi lately?
I heard Benghazi either. What's the deal here? So we are now going to sue the president. Now, here's the one thing. No court is going to get in the middle of two political organizations and say, you know what? You're right. Each one has their own bylaws.
To begin with, let's take it to the extreme. Let's say that they defund the executive branch. And that would be basically destroying the federal government, bringing America to a standstill.
But isn't that what they want to do?
Of course. They've already defunded the government several times.
Right.
Stopped everything. They're trying to...
That's what they want to do.
Is that they want to destroy government. You remember, the Koch brothers don't believe in federal government.
Oh, no.
They said we need to go back to nothing but 50 states.
Right.
Work in coalition everywhere.
Right, right.
So,
like, what do you do in Africa?
But, I mean, seriously.
And in
Europe. You're talking about destroying a nation and creating civil wars and everything else. When you take the branches of the government and set them at war against each other.
But didn't we have the Civil War about this?
Well,
wasn't that the Civil War?
No. Civil War was very simple. It was similar to that, but if you took the branches of the government and fought against each other, I mean, that is a constitutional crisis that you would not believe. That isn't like,
I want to move to New York because they got the most money, so we can beat everybody. What, are you kidding me?
This is serious. If they actually proceeded.
What kind of mental problems do these people have? Well, it's not mental. They want to destroy the government.
Yes, and that's why I want.
So it's not laughable. These people are serious.
They're serious, and they're seriously about the agenda that they're doing. They're accomplishing their goals. They've shut down the government about three times now. They have threatened to do it again in a month. By the way, if you're paying attention.
Oh yeah.
And now they're talking about defunding the executive branch and all this. Okay, you've got a group of people who are intent on destroying America and everything it stands for. They hate its president. They hate its executive branch. They want to destroy it. Is that not treason? Is that not?
Yes.
A Sabbath
power? When you want to destroy your government, that's treason.
Yeah, I mean, it is insurrection.
Now, the thing is, it's insurrection because these people are working in the government. That's insurrection. So, well, I guess it's treason for them. It's insurrection if we would do it, I guess.
It's traitorous action.
Traitorous action, yes.
I just want them to be held accountable. You're talking about laws and things like that. Then, and talking about let's follow the Constitution, and we have the power of the person.
But we want to get rid of the Constitution.
No, but there are also laws against, I mean, the definitions and the laws that are against insurrection and against traitors acts to the government are very explicit.
Insurrection, I believe,
of the Tea Party. That's why, you know, it shows like...
Well, that is. That's why they're carrying their guns.
That's why
the Tea Party have to have their guns available, because isn't their mantra all the time, we have to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what they say? So therefore, we need to carry our guns. But if you defund the tyrannical government,
by the way, just
I guess they'll go away. Well, Well, who will be taking orders? The Air Force? Who will they take orders from?
No one. The Koch brothers. You know, because there would be no government. They're trying to shut
down. That means they'll have no military either.
Exactly.
Okay. But,
you know, might help. It might be aiding and abetting.
The only ones that actually have to get paid, the only ones that have to get paid all the time would be the Supreme Court, because they're for life.
Well, the only ones that have to
right?
paid all the time, apparently, are these crumbs. That's all.
Okay.
Destroy all
but
law.
if you have no executive branch, how do you have a judiciary or a...
Most important news for the day. Tatiana Thompson is the girl's name from the Michael Jackson video.
Oh, yes. Okay.
But anyway.
All right. And where is she at today?
She's just an actress and dancer, and has done many things, but that's her most famous thing. However,
okay. All right, now.
I think we should start calling them what they are and quit going, oh, they're just hardliners, or they're Tea Party.
You mean
or any of these
like in Russia?
Terms.
Hardliners?
They're traitors, insurrectionists, and
they are
trying to destroy America. So
they no longer believe that to the winner goes the spoils. They no longer
believe in the rule of law. They don't believe in elections.
They don't believe in elections.
Anything.
Elections have consequences. They tell us all the time.
Yeah, and they lost twice. To consequent that.
I mean, I don't understand that. This is what I don't understand.
Yeah.
How are we taking their government away? Isn't it our government also?
I know, right? They're only a government of them. That's the way it works.
So it's... We're taking that. We stole their government. We took a condition and killed the government, took their government control, and now we run their government. Well, if we run their government, how can we don't run the House? Well, how does that misnomer come in there?
So here's the insurrection definition. The act or instance of rising in revolt, rebellion, or resistance against the established civil authority and established government.
Okay, that's we the people. What do you call them who are in the government that want to do that? Traitors. Am I correct? What is a traitor? What is a traitor? They are traitors. They're talking about Bergdahl. Cain was a traitor. Bergdahl never said anything against his government.
So,
McCain did say something against his government. Not Bergdahl.
Right. A person who is not loyal to his or her country, cause, or government.
Or government.
A person who commits treason.
Okay. By defunding the government, isn't that an act of treason?
Well, I mean, but also,
because I don't see anything in the Constitution that says
that they constantly are saying that they will not follow, they do not believe in.
Didn't that guy who lost down there in Mississippi? Did he say that if his taxes are raised, he ain't going to pay them?
Right.
Didn't he say that?
Right. Him and Bundy hanging out on the ranch.
Him and Bundy. Now, the thing that I want to know is, these people saying that we will deep now. Is there any place in the Constitution that says the judiciary can defund, not the legislature, can defund the judiciary or the executive branch? Does it actually say those words? It just says they have the powers of the purse.
Right.
The powers of the purse when it comes to bills. The powers of the purse to defund a war. Does not defund, because if you have co-equal status,
it doesn't mean you have superior status.
That don't mean you have superior status. That means you cannot defund another organization. You're your co-equal partner.
It doesn't say if you don't like the Supreme Court, you can abolish it. It just says they have.
Because you're going to defund the Supreme Court.
Their things, you can do your
right.
Things. So Enhanced the power of the person's ability of one group to manipulate and control the actions. Withholding funds, the power. Let's see what they say for the United States. In the program of the United States, the power of the purse is vested in the Congress as laid down by the Constitution and Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7, the Appropriations Clause.
Right. But the Appropriations Clause doesn't say you can defund the entire judiciary or the entire executive branch. It says you can defund bills that have been that are pending. It says you can defund programs that is pending, but a government branch is not a program or a bill. So therefore,
this is the most famous example of subverting the power of the purse was when Congress denied any financial or further aid for the Contras war in Nicaragua that Ronald Reagan was running.
Right.
And then he turned around and created the Iran-Contra drug for
right.
Guns deal and continued funding them.
Right.
But he didn't go to prison. He didn't go, even though that was literally a crime he could have been impeached on. They you know, threw that colonel under the bus. But so that's funny. That's the most famous illegal act. Now, what would you think of if Obama was running drugs, selling guns to Iran and maybe Syria right now to pay for his own private war, raping and killing nuns in Central America.
Nuns on the bus.
Do you think that would be an impeachable offense? Do you think the Republicans would let it go? That's right. What do you think?
What do I think?
What are the odds?
The odds are very, very, very low.
The odds of Bart. Beware the odds of Bart.
I want to know is what are we going to do when she's no longer there?
Yeah.
In November.
That's true. We won't have anybody.
Is she looking for a job on Fox News?
Yeah, she probably could. She can probably be a co-host with.
Boy, if they keep getting all these people jobs, I mean, these regular guys in the network are going to be up there.
But that's what they do. That's what their job is right now. The same job. It's just that one way they're elected and one way they're not, but they're paid by the same people and they appear on the same program.
Well,
it's really sad, though. It really is.
She. It has cut off a big head despite her face. I mean, that's the only thing I can see. She has cut off her big head.
Well, I mean, we
big head to despite her face.
Bachman and Boehner are both desperately coming out this week trying to sue Obama. So,
we have. Let's see. The impeachment.
Is it their last gasp?
Yeah, he said the last time we discussed the right's dream of impeaching President Obama, a conservative reader on Twitter asked, why does the left keep bringing this silliness up? They're so stupid, they don't even know who's bringing it up.
Yeah.
They think we're bringing up impeaching Obama. That's the question.
He's giving news conferences.
Oh, right.
About impeaching him and law.
Oh.
But somehow the left brings
him up. Right. The question was based on a half-right premise. The motion of impeaching the president is certainly silly. But it's not the left that keeps bringing up the subject. South Dakota Republican Party passed a resolution this weekend calling for the impeachment of President Obama. Obama has violated his oath of office in numerous ways, the resolution states, citing his controversial decision to trade 5 Taliban prisoners for U.S. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl and recent carbon emission regulations, according to the report, the Argus leader says. Now, if I remember correctly, that's not the job of the Congress to get hostages back. That's not none of their business how the military runs their organization. And as far as the recent carbon emissions regulations. How are carbon emission regulations an impeachable offense? The last time I heard about impeachable offenses, it was high crimes. That means not just a crime in government, the crime that you and I would commit, but a higher crime.
This is like going
and
back,
a misdemeanor. And
go back and try Carter for war crimes against humanity because he made everybody wear seatbelts and drive 55 miles an hour.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what it sounds like. Absolutely. I mean, this is like, so because he's going to, and you know, by the way, the EPA and all that is operating on its own, but because he's helping them say, you know, you must enforce all this and continue doing stuff, even though Congress is trying to defund you, that's impeachable? What
it wouldn't be because he is a black man in the White House.
There's always that. By the way, let me just say,
yes.
Even if they impeached
him, yes.
Listen to this. Impeachment in the United States, Article 1 in the Constitution says, you know, the House of Representatives has the sole power to bring impeachment. The Senate has the sole power to try impeachment. These require two-thirds vote. The end. Now, even if you're impeached, guess what? It is not removal from office.
Of course not.
It's not. It is a legal statement of charges.
That's right. That's all it is.
Hey, we don't like you, and here's officially we don't like you. And then it says, then you can go toward a legislative vote.
To remove it from office.
Try to remove it or convict or to do anything else.
Right.
And but that's completely separate. But that is so funny.
But
so
they don't care about that. They want to have a mark against him.
Of course.
That's all it is.
A black mark.
And yes, that's right. And as Bill Clinton said, screw you. Which he did. Anyway, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Now he says, this guy said, I've got a thick book on impeachable offenses of this president. Said Alan Unrich, the Tea Party activist and chiropractor from Sioux Falls, who sponsored the resolution. Of course, they don't lay them out what they are. Delegates in Sioux Falls Republican Party convention voted 191 to 176, so at least it was close. To be sure, the thick book on Obama's impeachable offenses appears to have some blank pages. Freeing an American prisoner of war through prisoner swaps, for example, is a positive development, not a high crime, which other presidential administrations have done under similar circumstances. For that matter, using the Clear Air Act to reduce carbon pollutants is a policy already approved by the Supreme Court. Making it pretty much the opposite.
That's just like
of an impeachable offense.
They said that Obamacare, which they might say because the Affordable Care Act sounds like something affordable.
Oh, yes.
And caring. So, but if you remember, they used to claim that Obamacare was unconstitutional.
That's right, because
he had taken over the medical industry and now he was forcing doctors at gunpoint, all this stuff. Right? And the Supreme Court went,
yes.
And then, now what do they say?
There's the Supreme Court said that.
Yeah, and now they're saying, moving along to Benghazi, Bachman, yes. They don't have anything to impeach on. There's no crime. There's nothing.
It says here, but we've clearly reached the point at which substances and reasons no longer matter.
Hey, when Bachman is out front, you know reasons out the door.
That rascally president has driven his critics start raving mad to the point that impeachment seems like a real possibility, not because of anything Obama has done, but because many Republicans seem to think it makes more sense to make them feel better.
Yes. Because Obama's Obama.
That's right.
We have to get rid of Obama.
Indeed, one GOP congressman said last week that the presidential impeachment reached the House floor, it would probably pass. Remember, no one even knows what the articles or the impeachment might be or say. But it doesn't matter. The drive about the uncontrollable id of the radicalized political party, not the legitimate governmental exercise based on evidence.
You know, I think the root cause of all of this is because he, in his devious Kenyan spy master ways,
spy master is
over.
Yes, that spy master is
he infiltrated the Oval Office. He took over the country.
Yes,
his certificate and his 40-year scheme.
That's right.
Working his way up slowly through governmental agencies and offices and government through the Senate until he became president.
That's
but
right.
Somehow that's illegitimate.
That's illegitimate.
You know what I think we should do, Mike?
All right.
Let's have the let's propose to the Tea Party because they'll take it up. I think it'll be fantastic.
Do what?
Why don't we change the name instead of Commander-in-Chief? You know, instead of any formal. Why don't we have them change it to boy? Because, you know, that would fit their goals and style, right?
Yes.
It sounds too official.
Yes.
And he's obviously illegitimate. So
obviously.
Those official titles.
Obviously. Yes. I think you're right. Now, it also says here, last week it was kind of half a dozen GOP lawmakers who recently endorsed the idea of impeachment, including three senators who have supposed to be slightly less unhinged than Jamie Fuller yesterday pulled together an even more comprehensive list. It's not short. With this in mind, Jonathan Capehart made a compelling argument last week. If Republicans take control of the House and the Senate after this year's midterm district possibilities, impeachment will actually look quite likely. I don't make this prediction lightly. The Tea Party-infused GOP has done things many once believed impossible. I'm thinking specifically about the two instances brought to the nation and the world to the brink of economic ruin because of the resistance of raising the debt ceiling. If Republicans are willing to ignore leadership and jeopardize the full faith and credit of the United States, this is really nothing that they aren't willing to do, and a Republican takeover of the Senate would only embolden them. I said before, I'll keep repeating it until the message sinks in. Democrats are inclined to sit out the midterms. Obama is not on the ballot in November, but Obama is on the ballot in November. Democrats have it in their power to keep the Senate and save the Obama presidency from all but certain asterisks of impeachment. Oh, that's really hurting Clinton. He became a multi-millionaire. He has the only balanced budget in the last, in this century. No, yes, this century.
And he had the greatest economy ever recorded.
That's right.
Ever.
But I think that might, it's getting pretty close to having Obama that way when the Dow Jones is now almost up to 17,000.
Here's one of my favorites, though. I was still looking at the South Dakota thing where they've called for his impeachment, the Republican Party of South Dakota. Their statements say, impeaching for, quote, his actions so far. His actions so far. And
which were? That doesn't need to be mentioned.
Also, so the National Campaign for Impeachment started a direct mail campaign 4 years ago on him. They have mailers that called him Comrade Obama, and pictures of Hugo Chavez. It says that Obamacare builds the enormous Soviet bureaucracy in our government administrative apparatus. Okay.
These people,
you know what we're dealing with here, Mike?
But see, here's the problem.
Important stuff.
The people that listen to Fox News can't read. That's why they have to be told what's going on by Rush Limbaugh. She can't read either. She's having someone write this stuff for her.
Comrade Obama. must be removed, Mike. But here's the one I love it. South Dakota, their quote is, for their reasons, that he has violated his oath of office in numerous ways, unquote.
They keep saying that.
There you have it.
There it is.
Hey, it's official.
Numerous.
Numerous ways, Comrade Obama.
And then they keep going back to Tricky Dick Nixon. They say,
Tricky
in 1974, the question was, will Nixon get impeached for running a criminal enterprise out of the Oval Office? What does that have to do with Obama?
Yeah.
What criminal enterprise, what people has he sent in to burglarize the Tea Party headquarters?
And I have to ask, Mike, why is every major Republican in the last half century named Dick? Yeah. President Dick. Vice President Dick.
Well,
Dick's Army. I mean, you know, Army Dick. There are so many of them. It's just frightening. Why, Mike?
It's just like in elementary, it could have been the two Dicks.
Instead of
the two cocks, it could have been the two dicks. Anyway,
I'm really having a ball with this one.
He said, 1974, the question, will Nixon get impeached, a criminal enterprise? Will Reagan get impeached for selling arms to sworn enemies to finance an illegal war? They were both correct. In 1998, the question was, will Clinton get impeached for lying about sex? Well, it's not against the law to lie about sex. And you can't conflate lying about sex with break-in of someone's house or the break-in of the War Powers Act that Reagan did.
I'll remind you this, that they had weekly hearings. They constantly investigated. They investigated their Christmas party. You know, if they could use stamps. You remember that? That was one. Did they use stamps? They spent millions on that one. So they were investigating constantly, couldn't find anything on the guy. And then when they found out that he was having an affair, you remember what they did?
Well, that wasn't an affair. That was just a one-sided thing.
They found out he had an affair. And they called him to Congress and asked him about the affair so that they could get him
to say no.
Right. And because he lied under oath to Congress, that's what they said violated the law.
But you see, you know what?
The whole thing, again, was a set of...
Well, was that a right? Right. So you see, you dab, you do, you dab, you don't.
Yeah,
the problem is, though, that if they went to civil court and they asked that question on court, they couldn't get him because you can't lie about sex.
No. But again, it was a non-issue. It was a private...
Because it was not an issue.
It wasn't like they called him... friend of everything and said, hey, are these videos of the dog, the child, in the black prison?
Right. No.
And then they went, no, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, that would have been an impeachable offense. You know, we didn't do that. So we didn't have the Vice President of the United States fly over to Afghanistan and tell everybody to destroy every camp.
Well, we also didn't know about George H.W. Bush during a secret mission to, where did he go, Greenland, to make the deal for the Contras? Because he was involved in that, too. He made that deal with the Contras. Didn't he? The one? Mr. CIA.
That's how they, fly all that stuff. You remember, by the way, also one of the last summer of Bush's reign, they crashed an entire CIA jet in Mexico that was full of tons of cocaine.
And the pilot bailed out.
One single arrest or investigation. Nothing.
He says, in 2014, the question seems to be, will Barack Obama get impeached because he's driven the Republicans off the deep end? Looking ahead, I still think the obvious course is to simply ask the congressional Republican leadership if they consider this on the table. In advance of the 2006 midterms, the midterm cycle in George Bush's second term, the Republicans routinely argued that if Democrats won back the congressional majority, they'd launch an impeachment crusade, perhaps because the GOP president launched a catastrophic war under the false pretenses. Naturally, this led reporters to press Nancy Pelosi and Democrat leaders, all of whom effectively ruled out the possibility. Is it really that outrageous to at least pose the question to the GOP leaders in 2014? If Pelosi and company were asked 8 years ago, why not raise the topic with Boehner, Cantor, and others? If it's a topic being casually thrown around by Fox News or the National Review and a variety of federal lawmakers and at least one state GOP convention, why not at least get Republican officials on the record?
Well, here's my favorite one from this week. Kill Mead off of Fox. You know, we've been talking about Fox the whole time. So Brian Kilmeade said that, quote, it's almost treason for Obama to be focusing on climate change. Okay.
Wait a minute. Isn't the job of the president to set the agenda? The agenda is not going to be set by the Congress.
To even bring up climate change, it's treasonous. That's what this guy's saying. But here's my favorite part of the quote. Kilmeade says, the Jamestown colonists, when they were over here coming to America for the first time, didn't say, quote, let's not bother the Indians. Let's not even make a fire until we solve this global warming crisis. Let's sit in the dark in the cold.
Yeah, actually. So, you mean to tell me?
are the ones, this is what we're bringing. This is the level of living. So this is the calls for
treason. So the Indians,
because
global warming.
The Jamestown colonists didn't sit around not lighting fires because they were worried about
Global warming. Well,
which, you know,
that's the type of fire that causes global warming. What is wrong with his brain?
It's doubly ironic that it brings up Indians.
That they stole the country from.
There might be a
committed a crime right there.
I'm saying there might be a whole dark.
We discovered America. That's right. And then you brought everybody here.
That's like that. You remember our little Tom Tillis?
Little Tommy Tillis.
Our local boy.
Yes, local boy.
This last week, he got saying something about not liking those other kind of people here. Like
Yes.
He said he was more traditional.
Traditional America.
No, traditional North Carolinians.
Traditional.
Right? He said, and they said, what do you mean by that? And the ones that came, you know, before and everything, the traditional ones. And you know, if you want to be traditionalist, they were Indians. The ones before.
Traditional.
But here's another more ironic one. You know who came before the British?
What British?
The French, the Spanish, even the Portuguese, even the Dutch were up here earlier. Because, you know, remember from your
old, a little bit of Dutchman.
When you were studying a little bit. That's why we have a lot of African Americans.
Yes.
Well, you might just check your timetable. Who first? Because I keep it before. Or maybe exactly contemporaneously with the white British people arriving to set up the colonies here. There were a whole bunch of other people already here. Don't give me this.
You think they were here first?
We need traditional values on my plantation porch with my mint julep.
Oh, speaking about mint julep, it's almost time.
It is almost time. But you know what? First, we got to finish impeaching prison.
Oh.
Priorities, Mike. Focus.
Don't we have to impeach the president?
Wait a minute. We need Trump. Let's say coordinating a campaign to
or
legally steal an election in, Wisconsin. Say something like that.
Stealing funds for a tunnel that you decide to build, but then you take it to fix, like, the Gulf Coast Bridge, which you say is connected with the tunnel because it's close to it, but it's only 6 miles away.
Yeah. You know, or like, you know, when you'd want to close down said bridge to punish some local mayors that aren't supporting you. You know, things that, I mean, real crimes, things that we can verify and prosecute. Crimes. And so on. Well, I find what things he done statements.
Well, you know, of course,
I mean, I did not like the comrade one. That was pretty
comrade. Yes, you know, there was we're going to put a gate on that bridge. What was the favorite part about this scandal?
That the bridge is named George Washington.
How
that, sir? Could we, I mean, it's like something you could make up. If you bet in the book, it'd be like, when you have Republic close the George Washington Bridge to spite a local politician. I'm done. That's it.
I tell you, now, you know,
you're my hero.
Chris Christie, you're my hero. Well, there was also a, speaking about a bad thing that happened, and, I think about how bad this has gotten, we have Michael Jackson.
Who's bad?
Bad.
I'm telling you on how I feel. Gonna set your mind. Don't you dare jump on, jump on, get on me. Watch your mouth. I know your game. What you're about. When you say the right thing, asking me to give it to you. I'm a friend, you have seen nothing. There's a way to
again.
So who is that singing?
Micah Jackson.
And who's bad? Did you ever see that video?
No, I have not.
Well, I'll show it to you later today, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And, well, what other song do you like about Michael Jackson?
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Have you never been here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I have another song.
Another song, huh? And, well, do you know any other songs, Tim? You do that dance. What's that dance? Moonwalk? Yeah.
Okay.
You know the song, was it The Way You Were, or the, what's the other song, you know, Building?
Yeah.
That, that is, I'm going to play that. We'll go off the air with that song. Okay. And who else do you like besides, is a singer that you like besides Michael Jackson? Who's the one do you like to play in the radio? You get asked me, who does he sing better than?
Frank Sinatra?
Yeah. That's who better than you?
Usher.
Yeah, the moves, huh? You guess Usher?
Oh, and Justin Timberlake.
And Justin Timberlake? You can do... Yeah, well, matter of fact, I have it on here.
Oh, and R. Kelly.
See, okay. You like Magic?
Not so much.
No. Well, you know this song. What's the song? And how about the one they sing of the Circus?
What's the All of the Way Around.
Okay, so we'll be off in about another 55 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and you just go back into it. You want something to nibble on while we're waiting? Okay, good. All right, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Tell them what's your name?
Blake.
And how old are you?
5.
And when you go back to school, what grade are you going in?
1st grade.
Okay, say bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so
cool, Blake. Love it.
So now, well, hey, he knows Frank Sinatra and what?
Trying to get the load over here. Here it is.
What load is that?
That'd be Mike.
Oh, well, I have a couple more in here that I will play next week.
I'm trying to do this in time for
now. Well, I have, but see, we can't hear that on the studio.
Yeah, I guess.
We can hear it here.
The mic.
Okay, now, what is the second bridge about?
The second bridge?
The second bridge probe. What is underway? Did you know there's another bridge besides the George Washington Bridge? It's called...
Abe Lincoln Bridge?
The Pulaski Skyway.
Oh, well, you know, at least that's the name that sounds.
That bridge should have been torn down 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So what did Chris Christie do this time?
Oh, my God.
In Bridgegate 2? He took $1.8 billion.
A billion with a B?
With a B.
Oh.
That was earmarked to build a tunnel between New York and New Jersey to alleviate the traffic that the other two tunnels, the Lincoln and the Holland Tunnel, have.
Mm-hmm.
He said no. Because, you see, quiet as is kept, New Jersey is $600 million in a hole. You know why? Because he cut taxes.
Oh.
And now he just won in court by the Republican judiciary that he did not have to pay. Oh, no, he did not have that he could use teachers' pensions to fill part of that hole. And took $1.8 billion of federal money and put to the repair of the Pulaski Skyway, which connects New Jersey City, Newark, with Jersey City. Under the guise that it was part of the Lincoln Tunnel project. Now, that would be funny if it wasn't too serious. I said 6 miles, 9 miles apart. Now, unless you're going to have a tunnel that has two connectors, you know, like you do when you want to adapt two TVs on one outlet.
Right.
Which they need to do. According to the Port Authority, bonds were issued. Bonds. That means bonds that we, the people, I'm no longer in Jersey, India. Bonds
people
that people paid for. And then the government issued other monies because it was part of a project that was supposed to help build a third tunnel.
This is the Lincoln Tunnel Access Infrastructure Improvement.
Right. Although the Skyway is more than 9 miles away to the south of the Lincoln Tunnel connecting New York and New Jersey with Midtown Manhattan. Now, how do you use federal funds? Well, you do it if you get away with it.
Yeah.
And since he was trying to get away with it, that's why he's under a major, major assault from the federal prosecutor.
So here's one that I like, this Reuters report that came out. I just like this one paragraph.
Yeah.
I'll read to you. Christie's supposed to be a street smart guy. At least that's the impression he projects. Street smart guys always know what's going on around them. They make sure that they know how to cover up badges and say, what's the hand crowd?
Yeah, well.
They didn't quite bury that $1.8 billion.
Did put up quite bury it in paperwork.
That body's coming back to haunt. It reminds me of that time when you had Silvers. When he had his two hirelings. The guy out in the woods.
Right.
And then the guy takes off running.
Right.
And they try to shoot him, but then he just vanishes, and they get lost in the woods, and then they have to make that phone call. They told him, we lost him. That's what happened. Somebody in the Christian came in and was like, Governor, we lost the body. It's somewhere out in the woods. We don't know where it is. You think he's going down?
I do.
Really, when you start messing with federal funds,
when the feds go after you, you do not get away.
Yeah,
because they don't go after you unless they got the money on you. Unless they got the money ball on you.
Hey, just ask the mayor of Charlotte.
Duh.
When you start messing with their money, and this is the thing. We're not talking about
not even their money. When you start taking money over the phone and using your government means to get that money, well, he used the government because, you see, the Port Authority is an independent agency, but it's run by two different states. So once it goes across state line, it's automatic federal.
Mm-hmm.
Christie administration never let me lobby.
You know, like you said before, using things that aren't even connected because they said, you know, when telling people to support this and give their hard-earned money, their billions to them, he says it's part of the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
It ain't. And we're near it.
Nine miles.
You know, but again, so he can use that name, Lincoln. I thought he could be in there. It's not like you're on the bridge.
But
what Republicans do.
Michelle Bachman was, and Neil Cabuto told me she was conflating the two issues. He took the Port Authority money to repair the Skyway, took this money, and it was ineligible to use because it was a state-owned and operated money. The Port Authority recast the bridge as an access road. How can you have a 9-mile access road? I think that is just to the Lincoln Tunnel and funding was secured, the newspaper said. So The only person in the poor who could actually do that is David Sampson, who used to be the Attorney General of New Jersey, appointed by another Republican. All these Republicans, see,
well, here,
they don't run for office. They're appointed.
Yeah, and here's
that's
the
what's going to get them.
Hey, this, and that's the thing with New Jersey, and we've talked about before, is being a you know, crony state. It's all appointments and who you know, who's your daddy. But so this next paragraph, though, is absolutely key, because not only did he misplace the $1.8 billion, you know, and not do what he said he was doing, but by renaming it and pretending that it wasn't a bridge, that it's an access road of the Lincoln Tunnel 9 miles away. It says, investigators now scrutinize accuracy of the access road description as a violation of the Martin Act, which is a New York State law that carries felony charges for intentionally being bumbled.
That the Martin Act is the only one of its kind in the country. New York did that. New York adopted that. And that's where they're going to get him at.
Well,
yeah, but see, now you notice that's not Christie. That is David Sampson,
yeah,
who's the head of the Port Authority. But David Sampson is 70-something years old. Does he want to go down for another 20 years at another $40 million? I don't think so. I don't think so.
But like you said.
Oh, geez, I had my headset on.
Oh, this whole time we had the headset on?
Yeah, well, but yeah, what is it going through here? All right. I hope. Yeah, well, hey, who knows?
Hey,
who knows what evil lurks in
the
I know. Blake is singing. We didn't get anything on here. Oh, God. Give me a break here.
By the way, we've just been through Bridgegate 2, and you've missed it.
And
but
you
anyway,
missed
welcome
it.
Welcome back to the show.
Well, welcome back to the show. I'll have to see if that came up.
Pick up on your external microphone.
Yeah, I guess it probably did.
Never let my
well, this was work. This was booked, so I don't know.
Maybe it was.
Yeah,
it
oh no, that was that's just earpiece.
Okay.
So it was we couldn't hear each other. We couldn't hear each other, but they could hear us.
Alright, so
yes.
We were gonna get around you know, enough of this New Jersey. You want crazy.
We want crazy. Yes. See, it's just if anybody else is calling it, this is our yeah, Dave.
When are we going to get to Mississippi, my friend?
Oh, I want to say, you know, the last thing that last is the best. That's what I want. I want to say the last for best. Last for best.
I'm thinking
best the last.
Corruption.
You know, when we talk about the lunatic fringe?
Crazy and Republican. I mean, I'm talking deep south, baby.
Hey, all right. Listen,
enough of this New Jersey.
Here's what we're going to do. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, right now, we are going to, as I live and breathe, there is a, I want you to listen, this is so unbelievable. It's a story about
a lovely lady.
About a lovely lady.
All right.
And, but this, I could not believe, I had to record this whole thing because there is no better way to explain this. But what on last night, Steve Kornacki, substituting for Chris Matthews on Hardball, had John Fury, who is a Republican strategist, along with this guy named Philip Dennis, who is a Tea Party person from Texas. He's just having people in Texas. This was so amazing that you have to listen. It runs 12 minutes, but it seemed like 2 minutes.
Okay.
This is as a result of what happened to Ted Cochran and McDaniels Tuesday.
That's bad.
Oh, bad too. Yeah, bad. All right. Anyway, here's that.
Good evening. I'm Steve Kornacki in for Chris Matthews. Leading off tonight, rage on the right. A candidate lost in Mississippi this week, but Tea Party supporters and their backers on conservative talk radio aren't quite giving in quietly. They accuse Thad Cochran and his supporters of race baiting, cheating, and betraying the conservative movement by chasing the votes of non-Republicans. They point to flyers and robocalls that targeted African-Americans before the election that attacked McDaniel for his civil rights record and the Tea Party's obstructionist tactics against the first African-American president. Chris McDaniel, he's the loser from Tuesday, has refused to concede the race. He says that thousands of Democrats voted, quote, illegally for Cochran in the runoff. He might challenge the results in court. Meanwhile, across talk radio, anger continues to boil over at Cochran and the entire Republican establishment.
What bothers me, and I'm really angry about this, every despicable tactic, false characterization, smear that the left uses against Tea Party members and conservatives in this country was used by the Cochran campaign against a fellow Republican.
And Cochran doing the political equivalent of shaking a Klan hood out in the streets to scare up votes is really unbecoming of anybody fit to hold elected office in this country.
I wonder what the campaign slogan was in Mississippi the past couple days. Uncle Tom's for Thad?
Now, I have a question for every black Democrat in Mississippi. What the hell has this 90-year-old fart, a white Republican, the same white Republican that for years the Democrats have been telling you are nothing but old racists? You tell me exactly what Thad Cochran did for you.
So are these guys just sore losers, or do they have legitimate gripes? And are Tea Partiers and the Republican establishment heading toward, as Sarah Palin suggested this week, a total rift? John Feary is a Republican strategist, and Philip Dennis is the founder of the Dallas, Texas Tea Party. Philip, I'll start with you. I can certainly understand why you're disappointed, why you're upset, why you might really even be angry at the Republican establishment and at the Cochran campaign. You have your candidate lose this race because they went out and very cleverly brought in Democratic voters who had the right to vote in this thing, and looks like that's how they won the primary. But I just at a basic level, listening to all of this reaction, some very sort of over-the-top reactions that were playing, some of them, do you as a supporter of McDaniel accept the legitimacy of this victory for Thad Cochran? Is this a legitimate victory?
No, absolutely not. Is every registered Republican in Mississippi that voted in the primary soundly rejected that?
Well, wait, just clear on the word legitimate here. There's no party registration in Mississippi, right? So we're not talking about registered Republicans and registered Democrats. Everybody who voted had a right to vote. Is that not correct?
Well, how many of the 35,000 Democrats that voted for Cochran the other night are going to vote for him in November? A big fat zero.
But that's,
that's
not the law, though. I want to just make clear, unless you have a specific legal gripe, this is a legitimate victory. What's the specific legal gripe?
I didn't say it was illegal.
Okay,
If the Republicans have to depend on Democrat voters to get their lifelong corrupt politicians, big-spending, pork-spending politicians elected term after term, then really what is the need for the Republican Party anyway? What we're really seeing is there is very little difference, if any at all, in Washington, D.C. between the Republicans and Democrats. And what we learned the other night is there is nothing, virtually nothing, that the Republicans will not do to keep the people they want elected in office, even wrongly disparaging and lying about the opponents and the people who are supporting him as racist, as going to take away your food stamps, as going to not let you vote anymore and go back to the Civil War. This is ridiculous, and it was despicable. And as low as the Republicans have been in the past, in my lifetime, this is the lowest I think I've ever seen them go.
So what do you want Chris McDaniel to do right now? Do you want some kind of a lawsuit here? What would the basis of that be? Do you want him to run some kind of a write-in campaign? I don't even know if that's legal in Mississippi. I know Austin Barber, one of the Barber family members, say that you can't even do that in Mississippi. What do you want Chris McDaniel to do right now if it's this bad for you?
Well, those are options for McDaniel to come up with, but I can address what I would like to see the people of Mississippi do. I would like to see all of those who supported Chris McDaniel to either write him in as a candidate or support his Democrat challenger. Because if the Republicans are going to rely on Democrats to get their rhino Republican senator who's been there since 1972 in office, a big pork spender, to use Democrats to get him elected, then perhaps the Tea Party Republicans who supported McDaniel should also vote for the Democrat in November.
You would rather have... rather have a Democratic senator in there voting for Harry Reid for majority leader for Democrats to chair every committee in the Senate than have Thad Cochran go back? Is that what I heard you just say?
Oh, absolutely, because, like I said, we see very little difference these days between the Republicans and the Democrats. Does anyone, right. And I know a lot of Tea Party people think there is, that Mitch McConnell, does anyone think that the Republicans will try to repeal Obamacare? Absolutely not. Mitch McConnell Harry Reid light.
Listen, I bring John here. They did shut the government down over when Mitch McConnell was there. But, John, listen, is this a problem for you? You know, you're sort of the Republican establishment voice here, so let's go to you on this. I mean, you know, look, you guys, as I say, in my mind, this is a legitimate victory. There's no legal question here. This is a legitimate victory that Thad Cochran and the Republican establishment scored. But this is your base talking to you right now saying, hey, this is a little too tricky what you guys just did to us and threatening some payback in the fall. Do you guys have a problem here with making the base too angry?
I think it's important that the Republican Party unify, because I think that the most important thing about this election is to stop Barack Obama in the last 2 years. If we give Barack Obama and Harry Reid a blank check, they're going to fill up the judiciary with all kinds of people that the Tea Party and establishment Republicans will hate. This is the most important election I've seen in a midterm election. If we do not stop Barack Obama
John,
in the last 2 years...
Just listening to what you just heard Philip say there, now, this is what we are hearing. Now, he took it a step further than what I've heard from other people saying, hey, we should just go ahead and vote for the Democrat this November. But when you listen to what he's saying there about, you know, the tactics that are used, the idea of going to get Democratic voters to win Republican primary, can you understand why the base of the Republican Party right now is upset over this?
Well, I understand that they're frustrated. I get that they lost. They lost legitimately. It was a legitimate election. The Cochran campaign used all within the law. They appealed to a broader base of voters, and he won. Now they have to get over it, and we've got to join together and stop Barack Obama in the last 2 years. And I think the stakes in this election are very high. For him to say that he wants Harry Reid to be the majority leader the last 2 years is so stunning that he's got to look in the mirror and say, does he really want to be the guy that gives Barack Obama a blank check the last 2 years? I don't think that's right, and I don't think that most conservatives agree with that.
All right, well, conservative radio host Mark Levine.
What have you done? What have you done? I'm sorry, Mr. Establishment. What have you done when we put you in the House in 2010? You were going in the best position. Hold on, Philip. In 2010, when we returned you to the House,
all right, Philip, and you put
Boehner in there, you had promised.
We got the point on that. I want to move ahead to the next thing. It's conservative radio host Mark Levin has interviewed Chris McDaniel yesterday, and here's what he had to say about Cochran's campaign tactics.
Could you have imagined how corrupt the Republican establishment was and the kind of race baiting and nasty tactics that were used against you? Did you expect that?
No, not in a million years. You know, these are people that always talk about party unity and party cohesion and talk about how we're supposed to stick together. And they did some of the most despicable things to me and others around me that I've ever seen.
And Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough had a very different take this morning.
These people were my children. I would be laughing at them, calling them the biggest whiners. They cheated. They didn't cheat. They followed the rules. They followed the law. You lost. They were smarter than McDaniel. As Laura Ingraham said, McDaniel was running a Tea Party race in an open primary. That is stupid. And if you were too stupid to win an election, don't whine about it the next day and say the other side cheated.
So Philip, I want to kind of get back to this point here about the future for the Tea Party movement in Mississippi and a candidate like McDaniel. I mean, you're looking ahead and you're saying you'd rather have a Democrat win this thing in the fall than to have your candidate. But isn't there something, you know, you're talking about the sanctity of the Republican process being violated here supposedly. Isn't part of the sanctity of the Republican Party process, or for that matter, if you're a Democrat, the Democratic Party process, the sanctity of it is you give your best shot, you take your best shot, you play by the rules. If you win, congratulations, the other guy comes and supports you, and if you lose, sorry, you go and support the other guy. Isn't that part of the deal?
Yeah, normally, absolutely. We vote conservative in the primary. We vote Republican pretty much in the general election. But there's two things. In this case, the Democratic opponent actually was opposed to Obamacare. He's anti-gun law, and he actually may be more conservative than Thad Cochran, who has a history of big spending. And for this guy, with the Republican establishment guy on the other side, to sit here and talk about how the Republicans and giving Obama a blank check, that's exactly what you have done. You passed every continuing resolution. We've got a $17 trillion debt. You promised to cut $100 billion from spending. In 2010, we returned you to the House, and you cut nothing. You guys have lied to us the whole time, and then you disparage us as a bunch of racist and kooks to win election for a guy that's been in office for 72. We don't need that, and guess what? If you're going to insult your base, you're going to lose your base. Now, normally, I would vote for a Republican if he's won the primary, even if he's to the right of the candidate, or the left of the candidate, but not when they've disparaged us. And Thad Cochran ran on, I'm going to spend more money than anybody else.
Well,
that goes contrary to the Tea Party message.
John, here's the thing. When I listen to that, I say I can't think of how many times in the past few years I have heard conservatives rail about how terrible Harry Reid is. They cannot stand Harry Reid. They don't want Harry Reid running the Senate. And now I'm listening to a conservative saying, well, I'd rather have a Democrat get elected and Harry Reid be majority leader. So that's my reaction to hearing that. But again, you as a Republican here, listening to the voice, a voice from the base of the party saying all of this, are we listening right now? Are you listening to an example of sort of why Republican leaders in Washington sort of had their hands tied for the last 2 years? Because this is every decision they make, they risk a revolt from the base.
Well, listen, I think the Republicans are in a really good position right now to capture the Senate. When they do that, they'll be able to finally put some legislation on the president's desk to have him sign or veto. That'll do a lot of the things that we hope. Hopefully repeal certain parts, a big chunk of Obamacare and other things. But that will not happen if Harry Reid continues as majority leader. And I think that Mitch McConnell is probably the biggest opponent that Barack Obama's seen. He was the one who said he wanted to make Barack Obama one-term president. He's probably very uncooperative with the president. And I think that for the Tea Party guys, yeah. I understand how upset they are. I get it. They lost. They're mad. But you know what? We got to get together, because if we don't, Barack Obama is going to have a blank check the last 2 years, and we don't need that.
I want to ask you one more thing, though, John, because this is the question also I have, and I think it was Glenn Beck in that little montage we played earlier who said this. The African-American voters who crossed over from the Democratic Party to vote for Thad Cochran in this, Thad Cochran, if he's reelected to the Senate this year, what are those voters going to get from Thad Cochran? What is he going to do? I mean, these are now sort of his constituents. They voted for him. They put him in office. Are we going to see a different Thad Cochran for any reason?
Listen, Thad Cochran has been someone who's always protected the interests of Mississippi, and I think that that's his constitutional role. He's been someone, I don't think there's any special dealer. And understand that the Democrats in Mississippi did not want African-American voters to vote for Thad Cochran. They wanted Chris McDaniel to win because they think that Chris McDaniel is the most vulnerable person to beat. We have Thad Cochran because he's been a good senator. He's going to continue to be a good senator, and he's going to continue to do the things he's been doing. And he's a very conservative senator. He will continue to be a very conservative senator. But I think that the African-American voters within Mississippi said, you know what, we'd rather have him because he's going to look out for the whole state. I think that was the right choice on their part. And Thad Cochran is broadening the base of the Republican Party, which I think we should all be for.
All right. Well, thank you, Philip Dennis, John Feary.
Insane.
Coming
insane.
Up next, that House lawsuit against President Obama, Speaker John.
Now, first of all, Feary is Republican, and this whole menace of the Tea Party. And Feary said, well, the African Americans would rather have the other guy? The Tea Party guy, McGann, to win because he would be easier to beat. Phony! Whoever wins, that's a Republican state. It don't matter who wins down there.
Yeah.
The problem is,
and they didn't want
that guy to win. Right.
Guy.
And it this took
fact, my favorite headline from all of that. I thought like, what? After the win, this is the headline. Satan beat Beelzebub.
I love that.
I thought that was awesome. I'm like, that was perfect because you had to pick. Which devil do you want in? And this kind of, I'm sorry, he's a
he is a police man. But you see how Feary was trying to spin it. He said, well, yeah, the Democrats would rather have Beelzebub to win because he would be easier to beat in the general. No, either one of them would win the general because the Democrat can't win down there. There isn't enough votes. But it might be in about 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's coming demographically.
It's coming demographically.
Right now, they could, and then we would have, like, nut
we would have Beelzebub.
So,
well, is Beelzebub worse than the other one?
Yeah, I think he was just a pure despotic demon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So,
The thing I got out of this and it really bothers me. I'll give you a whole little rundown of Thad here.
Well, just give us a little rundown of Thad, what he's done for. What do they call the 9-year-old, whatever it is? I mean,
well, I'll just say this before getting to Thad. I don't often defend anything about Mississippi because I fled that state. But I'll go through this little litany of Thad to point out some stuff.
You don't have a passport anymore.
But here's the thing that drives me nuts. These Tea Parties, and we said this earlier, they're in American interest. They don't want anything to succeed. And you see what I'm saying. They want to burn down. I mean, you remember this.
I have to tell you something. I've had 10 threats that don't stop. FedEx threats while being on the air. 10. This guy's not living.
They just assault me.
I mean, well, I've never seen this before. What the hell?
Yeah, well,
it must be
what we're doing.
Beelzebub. All right, go ahead.
But they don't want anything to succeed. You know, the thing was why they were kind of against him, and what even brought out the Republicans against the Tea Party, and why Thad went to the Democrats and cut the deal, was because he was threatening everything. You know, he wanted Mississippi to secede. He wanted to end all federal monies to the state, everything else, you know, because they're anti-government. They don't like America at all. And it's the same thing here. As soon as they lose, what was Campbell saying? I'd rather all the Democrats win and, you know, blah, 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 you know. So this obviously is just, they're nuts. They're anti-government, you know.
Well, you just put it this way now. Let me ask this question. If that's the case, and the Tea Party backs the Democratic candidate, can the Democratic candidate win?
If they all voted for him in block, I think they could. That'd be fantastic.
Well, because
I'd love it.
Well, they're close. So they cut their nose up to spite their face.
That's what he's doing. But, you know, whatever. They're just nuts. But here's some.
But that means they could do this.
They could. That'd be good for us. I'd take it. I don't care. It'd be a real shocker. But here's some Thad facts. You want to hear it?
Thad facts?
So Thad, you know, he's like senator, so he's the third most senator. He's coming out the second oldest Mississippi senator ever in history. Only John Dominus was older. Who said in the space center and all of that. Speaking of that, this is one of the reasons that just like John Dennis got money down there. Like, who would have thought that NASA's rocket testing facilities would be built in the swamp?
Right.
In South Mississippi. So that's because of Stennis, right? That brought $2. And just like that, Thad brought
$2. To help guys, right?
Well, one of the biggest things he did recently, so that people would know, I mean, I'm not going to go through all of his, you know, 40 years of there, people will be yawning. Hurricane Katrina. Everybody remembers that. You know what the Republicans were doing?
What?
You know, they were cutting all funding. They refused to even fund hurricane relief.
Right.
You remember, they wanted to get rid of FEMA. Mm-hmm. You know, forget about that. They said around the president. So around the president. That's a little while before dying. And he
Yeah.
He's an old school statesman. So he went around trying to figure out how to work. And this is his time, the quiet persuader on Capitol Hill. Because he gets done, and he gets money for his state. So what he did was, he went around making deals, auctioning, everything else. But because they were cutting funding, he went and he said, you won't get any defense for peace passed again. Until you fund the Ministry of Government. So he got $30 billion added, and they passed it because he said, "I don't care where he's taking, but somewhere." And they put it into a defense bill, and see, they had the defense appropriations bill. That's what the trend. But he helped the entire government do it.
So he said, "McGanders could."
No.
You mean he would be the power?
I'm seceding from the. I doubt he could do things like that. But that's just an example over an entire, you know, decades long career.
Okay.
Now, but let me tell you this. This is just funny from the beginning. He got in accidentally to begin with. He was first in the House. But I wanted to just share this with you. He went to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a State University.
Yes.
Very Southern, shall we say.
Yeah.
I just want to share this with you. There is black in there. Like this. And his buddy, Trent. Yeah, again, that's always old. Trent.
Yes.
You remember Lyte,
don't you? Oh, Mr. Lyte.
So these are names you may be familiar with. But anyway, Dan Cochran and Trent Lyte both went to Ole Miss. You know what they were?
They were
better than that.
Boyfriend and girlfriend?
Better than that.
My God.
They were cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders.
You got to think about that Ole Miss cheerleading squad when it looks like Dad and Trent.
That is good job.
Serious stuff. But anyway, so that's where he came out of, the cheerleading squad there. But anyway, he got in when somebody was, you know, getting out. But he ended up winning. He was one of the first Republicans to get in there in a while. But he served as a House representative for a long time. But he tended to resign. And then that's how he got in. He's running, and for the first construction, first black mayor of this town ever since Reconstruction.
Charles Evers.
Now he was running mayor. Fetty. He was running against, but with the Democrats. Weapons is evenly split.
That's how he got
6% of votes, like 30. And he won in '70 as a senator. They didn't. They ran a white and a black. The black was the guy.
Oh.
But he was the first mayor, black mayor down there ever.
Mm-hmm.
Since Reconstruction. So it was unfortunate. But that's kind of how Thad's like runs. You know, he often has these people against him that kind of benefit him. Like that Tea Partier, for instance.
Like that Tea Partier.
I'd say that Cochran's a kind of lucky guy. Maybe he's got that cheerleading luck. I don't know. But he's been there for a long time. And here's the only thing I will say. Now, I am not a fan of these fools who sit in Congress forever. I don't like that we have people stay in power decade after decade after decade, fall after decade. They're entitled.
You mean that?
I don't know. I will take an older statesman who knows how to work, knows how to talk, and knows how to compromise. And get things done, and do things like fund a devastated area after a hurricane. I'll get all day long. Oh, God, because I want to be part of you. When I get on the everything to sleep. All he recognized was in the holy book of the Bible. You know, that was, there was no United States law. There should only be God's law. So that is what I call counterproductive. And I'd rather have a Ole Miss cheerleader any day of the week. You know what I'm saying?
An Ole Miss cheerleader.
Cochran.
Yes. Was that Elvis cheerleader? Or was that Jesse?
Well, you know, cheerleaders like that. Lots, Cochran.
Right, that's
you
right.
Know, that's kind of scary, but whatever.
Now,
at least I didn't go to that college. We had nice looking cheerleaders. Golden Eagles, USM. They did not look like
give me a break. Oh, I tell you. That's I tell you. Now, tell us, they got 17, I believe they got 17% of the vote. The blacks back in with 17% of the vote.
Yeah, and I told you the other day, I hope and pray that Thad
being a gentleman that he is, he knows that he just got saved. But it's gonna be,
well, this is the thing now.
I hope he pays his dues. And I, by that, he owes the African-American Caucus in Mississippi his life. So,
well, the NAACP. So how do they now justify this?
Well, you know.
How do they justify this? How does he now go in and say, what do they do when they ask him, hey, look, we need this. We need some better schools. We need some better representation. Mm-hmm. Now, because you have to look at it now. That same 17%, which was higher than any time before, suppose they came out and voted in the general.
Yep.
Is that enough to push the Democrat?
Well, let's think about this.
Because, well, what was the Democrat lose by normally?
Not too much because
it's close.
The African American population of Mississippi is in the mid 40%, and I think it's you've got a 50-50 shot. So if you take away, say, all the Tea Party don't vote, and then you really have energized all of the Democrats and they all turn out, I think that's a sure shot win. There's no way that I can win on those numbers. So that's just if. But in general principles, Republicans will win in the South ever since. Right, you can't. I mean, we've experienced that. You know, we lost our whole state recently to these 860.
We have a million more registered voters.
Yeah, it's just that it's right.
You forgot to mention that at MSU, Brett Farwell did.
USM.
Hmm?
USM.
Oh, he went to USM.
Where I went, yeah.
No, but he went to Mississippi State with them.
Who?
Did Brett Farwell go there?
He went with me.
I mean, I didn't say same time, but I'm saying.
No, actually, Brett Favre, the famed quarterback for many teams, he was actually our quarterback while I was in school there for the Golden Eagles, USM.
Ah.
That's how I met him. Him and his brother Scott.
Okay.
They were pretty terrific.
Well, I'm sure.
But here's something also. Just more like a taste of the stuff going on that Tea Party side that I'm glad I'm in the office now. So, you know, before the election, they were going such dirty politics down there. For the scheme, this weird scheme of I don't want to get into the whole thing, but somehow they broke into a nursing home and tried to take pictures of her convalescing in a bed to use against him in ads or something like that. Anyway, they've all been arrested now. They've got criminal charges against them. But so you've got Chris McDaniel's people being arrested in this weird scheme. I don't understand what was on there. But just to point out, this is a tragedy that not live at this.
You mean Chris McDaniel hasn't been arrested?
But no, he hasn't been arrested yet. But
yet.
Let's just see what happens to these guys if they turn. But interestingly enough, one of the supporters that was arrested in this same scandal, guy named Mark Mayfield.
Dick? Huh? No,
they're all named that somehow, but this was a mark. But anyway, okay. He actually just committed suicide this Wednesday, right? 2 days before.
Run that back one more time. What's that?
So Mark Mayfield, he's the leader of the Mississippi Tea Party. He's an officer of the Central Mississippi Tea Party and one of Chris McDaniel's supporters. He was arrested on conspiracy charges.
photographing Tarkin's bedridden wife in the nursing home. She suffers from dementia. And they're going to try to embarrass him or something.
What could you do?
But no, this guy, and this guy is young. He's in his 30s.
He don't know what the hell he's doing.
Isn't it weird that when he's arrested and the screws are being playing on him, he goes and kills himself? So
you think?
It's just, anyway, but aren't we glad, my point is, aren't we glad that that freaking circus isn't arriving in Washington? Imagine if Thad would have lost, and then we get the let's photograph elderly nursing home dementia patients breaking and entering like Tricky Dick and his team and suicide and all of them going to prison and all his staff. I mean, would that train wreck have been better to come there? Or Thad Cochran, who's been there for, you know, 40-something years without scandal, albeit being a congressman that's conservative, been there getting done and, oh, yeah, governing instead of shutting down the government. So imagine if McDaniel's bipartisan seceding train wreck of criminality would have arrived.
We haven't heard anything about McDaniel's being racist, or not saying that he's not, because he probably is, but I mean, we haven't heard anything about that where he's outright done it. It seems like these outlanders are the ones that are doing this.
Yeah, his campaign. Yeah, all the outliers that are in his campaign. Yeah. And this is the only other thing I'll say about this. Let me qualify it to the side. And you know how that goes in Mississippi. You know, he was found with his gun against his back and he killed himself.
Hands tied behind his back.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
No clothes on.
Yeah.
Right. We used to have that in the football game. I was over at Clark Air Base before that was my home base and whatnot, and we went TDY in different places and non whatnot. And he'd say, well, hey, you can't go outside the side of the fence at night because some soldiers, we just found one. He, 12-foot fence, jumped over the fence, hands tied behind him, no clothes, and shot himself in the head.
Yeah.
No gun found.
Yeah. Suicide. Move along. Well, look, they've had this for years.
I mean,
it's an arrow joke. You know, a lot of times, unfortunately, with blacks and everything else. But Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi are the quintessential kings of suicide. You know, where these suicides.
By quote, unknown.
And usually in Mississippi, you know, was literally they had a federal court case. Most of the suicides occurred when you were in police custody.
Oh, yes. Well,
after kicking himself in the ribs,
right,
repeatedly,
he grabbed the gun
with a shoestring, you know.
Yes.
All of his shoestringless slippers.
Killed himself with his shoestring now. You see, they got this, this is the new five now, you know. It's one guy and four
dumb,
dirtbag women.
But years ago, there was one of the investigations found no wrongdoing with one of the parchment inmates. Killed himself, like, with a shoestring, hanging from his head.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in his head. They're caught on the ground. Like, 6 inches. Come on, buddy.
He tied around and he rolled out of bed.
Really tight. And he hung and hung and hung, and he pressed himself down as hard as he could.
But here's the thing, it was worse. The shoestring was only 6 inches long.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
It slipped off him when he rolled out of the bed.
Is McDaniel's investigation with the guy killing himself when he's dressing? Reminds me. Not me, but it reminds me.
Yes?
Of a certain scandal out of Texas a few years ago where a lot of people were defrauded of a whole lot of money.
Really?
And
did they work for Pope? Oh, no. They worked for Vatican City.
Well, if you remember, there was it was a big scandal.
Big scandal.
One of the key witnesses who was going to come testify against Ken Lay and his first.
Oh, you mean the exterminator man.
On the way to the courthouse.
Oh, yeah.
And he pulled over on the side of the road and killed himself.
Uh-huh.
with a shot through the head. As he was like, you know.
He was on the left-hand side, but he was right-handed.
Yeah. You know, and
that
one to me was like funny is because he had children, he had family, and he had already turned over all the evidence. If he was going to testify, it was his day to appear in court. And the court
was and he wasn't going to jail.
There was a typewritten note that all the board saying how he just felt bad after all, he couldn't say anything horrible about him. He was his good buddy, and the company had treated him so well, and he couldn't continue to lie so himself. I mean, you know, that was to me, that's the quintessential, quote-unquote, apparent suicide.
Apparently, it was a suicide.
Come on. These are horrible. But I don't know what's happening down there, but I'm just glad that, you know, even though I joke about Mississippi all the time, I'm glad.
I mean, you can. Oh, I didn't know that.
Glad that this train wreck, Tea Party guy, did not just become the senatorial candidate for Mississippi. But could you imagine this whole? This would be like Chris Christie rolling in with bridges closed. And
yeah, but it's like Michelle Bachmann. She's leaving. There had to be somebody to fill the gap.
Yeah, but you know, we didn't need any more train. I mean, the South has some problems. Just every day getting up and looking stuff in the mirror. We do not need this train wreck.
Yeah.
The McDaniels train wreck. Just
when Mississippi made the big move from 50th to 49th.
Thank you, North Carolina.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, North Carolina.
You're welcome.
Yes, that since we just made the big move from 50th to 49th, and then along comes this fool McDaniels. We couldn't let that happen.
You know what? I'm glad that Mississippi, and this was a Mississippi problem. They stepped up, though, and Mississippi solved it. That was pretty cool. They
That's
all
right.
came together.
All right.
Even they knew
we got
Beelzebub.
We got one more minute. Will this carry over in Mississippi in the general election for whoever the Democrat is running?
I hope. I truly hope.
Will the Tea Party stay their word and back the Democratic candidate?
And what? Stay home and look at videos?
No, back the Democratic candidate. Vote. Oh, you're laughing? You don't guess?
I don't believe anything the Tea Party are saying. That's
well, this has been a great show. And we're leaving everybody. Next week we will be on vacation in Charleston. No show. But we're going out one more time. We came in with Michael, and we're leaving with Michael. And this time is Billie Jean. Everybody have a great 4th of July. This has been us.
Hey, my girl.
We're out of here. No son of mine either.
down.